So you guys into going to see Casey and the Sunshine Band?
I want
to do it. Where are they playing?
Down at Indian Ranch on Sunday, July 8th.
No fucking way.
Yeah, yep. A couple of hundred feet that way.
No fucking way.
Yeah, Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I could park at work and walk down.
I don't think I
could.
We could.
What is the line for Bill and Ted's Bogus? Casey and the Sunshine Band. What is it, Death? He's like...
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, I don't think
Bogus.
I don't think I've ever heard that band before.
Yeah, you have.
Yo, Jesus Christ, you have, dude.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, that was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, same difference.
No. No.
Welcome to the Darker Side Podcast, where we delve into the darker side of our existences. The morbid, the macabre, the spooky, and the absurd are all fair games as we discuss murder, UFOs, cryptids, creepypasta, the paranormal, and the dark depravity of the human soul. I am David, and with me as always is Forrest, Rachel, and John. How is everyone this fine Memorial Day day?
Amazing. What up, y'all?
Thank you for your service.
Amazing. Thanks for your service.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. And remember those who died.
Yeah.
For our government.
I'm very happy to not be speaking Russian right now.
Me too.
Yeah. Thanks to those who served in World War II. All right, guys, we're going to get into creepypasta. Children of the Moon. In the town of Bisbon, nobody leaves their home after dark. As soon as the sun begins to set, shutters are drawn shut, candles are snuffed out, and doors are locked tight. Before the moon is fully risen, the entire town appears deserted and silence reigns supreme. Did you hear that? Whispered Freya, sounding very small and afraid in the dark. Shut up! Her older brother, Freud, hissed back through clenched teeth as he eyed the black window of the house nearest to them. They were probably locked. Nobody in their right mind would leave their windows unlocked at night. Not in Bisbon, anyway. I told you we shouldn't play in the forest, continued Freya. I said we should go back sooner, and I said, shut up, Freud went on. Whining about the past doesn't change the present, Freud looked at his sister, shivering in the dark. It doesn't change the situation we're in. Before Freya could respond, the faint sound of a child's laughter floated across the wind. Goosebumps erupted along Freud's neck and arms. Something about the sound seemed wrong. Maybe there's other... Freud collapsed his hand over Freya's mouth, pulling her in close and shrank back into the shadows of the alley. Again, an unearthly sound drifted across the air. Freya tensed in Freud's arms as she realized the magnitude of their situation. A child's voice, oddly distorted, broke the silence of the night like a fist through the glass. Come out. Come out, wherever you are. The thing lumbered across the mouth of the alley, just a few feet from Freud and Freya's hiding place. It was roughly the size of a child, yet shuffled with his arms hanging grotesquely close to the ground, making its disproportionate body appear markedly ape-like. It was completely nude and had skin so shockingly white that it reflected the glow from the moon. The thing turned its shimmering bald head towards the alley as it crossed. Its face was perfectly smooth and entirely devoid of features, saved for an impossibly wide smile with lips the color of blood. The crimson slash on its mouth appeared stretched over ear to ear. Freud felt warm spreading down his thighs as his bladder let go. Freya whimpered. The thing froze mid-stride. As rigid as stone, slowly it turned its torso until it was facing the alleyway. It took a tentative step forward. Freya sucked in a sharp breath through her nose as she began to hyperventilate. Freud clamped his hands over her mouth, but he was too late. Impossibly fast, the thing twisted its head toward the hiding place, producing a sickening crackle from its neck. Found you. In the town of Bisbon, nobody leaves their house after dark. Everybody. Young ones are sternly told to be home at dusk. They are told of the evil that haunts the streets at night. They are told to always remain silent, because if they hear you, the children of the moon will tear you limb from limb.
Interesting.
I like it.
Wow.
I like it.
Interesting.
I feel like it borrowed heavily from Dean Koontz's Midnight, if you've read that delightful little romp.
That, as well as M. Night Shyamalan's...
Shyamalan?
Oh, you know, Signs?
Yes.
I love like that guy.
It reminded me creatures of A Quiet like, Place, too, a little
also
bit.
A Quiet Place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this, I think, was written before A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
That's an older creepypasta, so. Thank you, creepypasta writer.
That was amazing.
Yeah, That was very sweet, very sweet. All right, well, guys, it's time to get into the Darker Side news stories.
Hell yeah.
This week, we've got a...
Nice.
This week, we've got a few. We've got some pretty good news stories. Some might make you hate things. Some might make you laugh. And some might just give you chills.
There's definitely a lot of news in the news this week.
Oh, yeah.
Some news.
There's so some news, yeah. News.
Quite a bit of news.
There's been news happening.
All the news.
So you got a news story for us, correct?
Sure do.
Yeah.
This article is brought to you by Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah, Coast to Coast.
Yes. So, I'll read the title for you. This was published on May 24th, 2018. Infamous curse haunts man who stole rock from sacred site.
Oh, my God.
You guys remember that...
You betrayed Sheba.
You remember that Brady Bunch episode where they went to Hawaii and they brought back the...
And Fonzie literally jumped the shark.
Yes.
That is where we get that term.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I think Punky Brewster did an episode as well about an object like
Everybody
this.
Everybody knows you don't frickin' take things from a sacred place.
No,
so
you don't.
One Australian man believes that this misguided desire for a memento while visiting a sacred site has unleashed an infamous curse upon his life, and he's willing to travel a great distance to make amends. Steve Hill, journey to the rock formation, I'm going to murder this, but Uluru?
It's the red rock in Australia.
Yeah.
The big giant red rock.
Okay.
It looks beautiful.
Red rocket.
Last June,
I'm sorry.
And while there... Sorry. Pocketed a piece of the site, which is revered by the Aboriginal people in the form of a relatively small stone. Hmm. Remarkably, he did
It's not just
knowing...
revered, it is their, that's where their people walked from.
Right.
They walked out of that stone.
You don't touch it.
No.
No, it's the most revered thing in their culture.
And he did this knowing full well that there's a long-standing legend that those who pilfer pieces from the site are inflicted with the Uluru curse.
I wouldn't want the Uluru. That shit would burn, I'm sure.
Penicillin clears it right up.
Yeah, right.
It's like a cold for your drunk.
It doesn't clear out the spiritual gonorrhea. Yeah.
Mr. Hill, as we'll call him, you know, King of the Hill, thought that the tale was, quote, a load of baloney. Now, he laments that the decision was tormented him ever since and beyond merely through feelings of guilt. According to him, weird incidents began unfolding in his life from almost the moment he left Uluru. On his way home from the site, Hill claims his car was essentially attacked by what sound like crazed kangaroos. Instead of moving...
Hey, get over here! I want to smash your face in, bitch! Or mate, or whatever. Whatever you want to be called. I'm an angry kangaroo.
I feel like you sound more like an angry wallaby to me. I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie. This guy.
You sound like a drunk Rocco.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Also, cranky dingo.
Yeah, cranky dingo. Yeah, yeah.
We got a drink. I said, not gonna lie.
Hold on.
You can't catch your own. Not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I did.
All right.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
So instead of moving out of the way, they were actually slamming into his car.
As they'll do.
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
Yeah.
Shortly thereafter, the engine of his car died in a fashion that baffled mechanics. In the weeks and months that follow, Hill was plagued by constant feelings of anxiety and refused to even bring the stone into his house for fear what might happen. He finally concluded that he was cursed after all, of the photos from his trip to Uluru vanished from his phone. Sensing that this was some kind of message, he now plans to go back to the site and return the rock to where it belongs in the hopes that it will break the curse. In a testament to how serious he is about this hex-busting mission, Hill will have to travel nearly 2,000 miles from his home in the town of Stirling, Australia.
Good for him.
Wow.
Don't take what is sacred to the people. Oh, you fear the curse.
Yeah, it's insane.
This guy sounded like a freaking science denier, like 100%.
Well, I wouldn't say science denier.
No, there's not a lot of science there.
He believed in a lot of science, just didn't believe in faith and spirituality and people's culture.
And if George Michael taught us anything, it's that you've got to have faith.
Faith, yeah.
You've got to have
faith.
All right.
You've got a... tantalizing news story for us, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. So, I actually saw this story not long ago, and I was like, wow, this is some groundbreaking shit right here, so I gotta report on it.
Ooh, what is it?
American neo-Nazi just desecrated hundreds of gravestones at Memorial Day ceremony site.
What do you mean desecrated?
This was published on my birthday, May 26th.
Happy birthday to you. We gave you a really nice pink cupcake cake
you guys
today.
Did. It's amazing.
Happy 25th birthday.
The cake is so good. The cupcake is so good. Thanks.
Cupcake cake.
Hell yeah. Cupcake cake. So this was a story by Vinny Longobardo.
Longobardo.
If Vinny that is
Longobardo.
His real name.
Yeah.
This is a story by Bob Maluga. Luga.
There are literally three people out there that'll get the reference,
that's
Josh.
Fine.
He's probably one of the best references ever. One of my favorites, and nobody's going to get it.
Big man on campus. Go see it. Find it.
Fuck it, eh? So going forward, the normalization of fascism under the Trump regime has been one of the most disturbing aspects of his presidency. From a resurgent Ku Klux Klan to the rise of the neo-Nazi alt-right, fascism is rising like a long-dead zombie from the grave we all thought it had been buried in for good. A horrifying example of this trend manifested itself in Glen Caribon, Illinois, about 19 miles east of St. Louis, this weekend when over 200 gravestones at the Sunset Hill Memorial Estate Cemetery was vandalized with spray-painted swastikas last night.
Schwatzstick.
You saw the pictures, all right?
They're wrong.
This gentleman painted them horribly wrong. Like
they're backwards.
Well, they're Buddhist symbols at this point, which is nice. It was a symbol of peace on Memorial Day. It's just misguided, though it may have been. I think he was just trying to say that the world needs more peace.
Good Lord.
You know what?
If there was malice behind it, obviously it's horrible, but, you know, let's look at it from the brighter
side.
But
do some,
of that, yeah.
Make sure you're doing the right things. Yeah.
I don't know. You never know. It could be someone who has.
Plant some poppies in front of there, you know, if you want to give them a memorial.
I don't know if they're doing that on purpose or they have no idea what they just did. I don't know. I don't know. Going forward, the vandalism was discovered by groundskeepers this morning and seemed, which is Saturday morning, and seemed timed to have maximum impact over the busy Memorial Day weekend. The cemetery, which contains the remains of over 1,300 veterans, is usually filled with people paying their respects to departed loved ones over the holiday.
Yeah, as most cemeteries are, but this is a heavy amount of people who passed away in that general area.
Wow, yeah.
Due to, you know.
What was the groundskeeper like? Oh, for Christ's sake.
Goddamn Nazis.
Well, this
I fucking hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah.
Is it Illinois?
It is Illinois, yeah.
Illinois. It's the north, technically, isn't it?
But doesn't matter.
It's famous for the American Socialist Party versus Skokie, Illinois Supreme Court case, yeah. Which decided that you do have the right to wear the swastika, but you're supposed to wear it correctly.
Oh,
interesting.
That is bullshit, but that's crazy.
Well,
First
Amendment, right? They can wear it.
I mean, we can debate the First Amendment later, but...
And this is what...
Yeah, in a long episode, we're never going to let you hear.
Nobody's
going to
hear.
Maybe in the future, if you guys want to hear it from us.
I'm enjoying my First Amendment right to say fuck.
I mean, it's sad. I mean, the government forces my rights, so it's just whatever. What's it? Mark Johnson, let's see here, ground superintendent at the non-denominational cemetery, told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that the perpetrator of the vandalism timed their action intentionally.
Yeah.
And he said, I quote, "I think they probably knew what they were doing." He said of whoever committed the vandalism.
Nah, maybe Billy Bob and Joe just got shit-faced and decided to...
I think I read this story, and there's something about, the gentleman. They did catch a gentleman. Yeah, they arrested a man. I think he was, in his mid-30s.
Yeah, what a loser.
I think he's, 36, 38, 32. Either way, he's in his 30s, and he's drawing swastikas on memorial, people's graves, and...
Well, a home surveillance system managed to capture the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Caught him on tape.
Yeah.
Red-handed.
Was he sober? My guess is no.
Probably not. Maybe he had malice in his heart. Maybe he was had a fuel, just give me attention thing. Nobody knows at this point because it happened so recently.
Honestly, it says
malice
right
in his heart and beer in his belly.
Mm.
It even says right here, no further details about the suspect are expected to be available.
Exactly. So, I mean, the titles are misleading, but still it's a sad story.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's ongoing.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, it could have just been I need some attention, or it was him going, you know, I'm a Nazi, and I love everything that's going on in our country right now.
Or dumb fucking Nazi.
Yeah, or just it's just a dumb piece of shit. Yeah. He is Illinois.
He did prove that he was dumb.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question. I won't debate that with you.
I will totally come out with a follow-up story.
Yeah, if we hear it.
Check out the pictures on our pages. And
yeah,
steps.
I'm sure. Johnny, what do you got for a news story for us? Frere Jacques.
Oh, man. Breaking news.
Fuck yeah, man.
So, there is a quote. This is from the Daily Mirror from the UK, which is awesome because
I love the UK. Sorry.
Ever been?
I want to go.
You should.
I want to go so bad.
Warm beer, soccer fans.
Soccer fans.
Really, really good theater in London. That's like, I'll take my wife there. But anyway, so shocking Pentagon report reveals UFO with, quote, cloaking device, stalked U.S. Navy ship for days before vanishing. So here's the deal. This story is not new, but what is new is some of the details. So a UFO stalked the U.S. aircraft carrier off the coast of California for days, possibly using a cloaking device to disappear.
Fuck yeah.
Which made me excited because I like the Klingons.
Yes.
And that is according to the Pentagon report. So a group of people from KLAS, it's a news station in Las Vegas, actually, through the Freedom of Information Act, got some really good information about this.
Nice.
They got a report, and the report reveals that there is video of the object, and it's shaped like a Tic Tac mint, is how people describe it, especially the guy in the plane who was looking at it. And that video emerged last December, but this whole thing actually happened about 2004.
Shit. Oh, so quite some time ago.
Yeah, 14 years ago.
14 years ago. Yeah. Again, thanks to the what is it? The act is it?
Freedom.
Freedom. Yes.
I can smell a documentary film about this.
It's coming. Okay. Somebody's already on it for us.
Oh,
late to the party, bro.
Damn it.
So they're now referring to these, which is great. So we got a new term out of this one, which I was really excited about. So this vehicle that sort of bobbed around, flew at incredible speeds, disappeared, and then possibly might have docked with something in the ocean.
Fucking
they're calling it an anomalous aerial vehicle.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Interesting.
But the Pentagon basically said in their report that this is nothing, no one's technology on planet Earth. So definitive proof that there are aliens fucking around with our U.S. military and landing in the ocean.
Because there is absolutely no way that anybody on this planet has the technology to do this right now.
Yeah.
And it hasn't leaked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have such a culture with the internet and the dark web and all these other things that this information would be out there if it absolutely existed. And apparently, it's not ours.
Yeah, and we sent our technology after this thing. We had people watching it. It disappeared. We sent a Hawkeye aircraft, which is this. It's in the article that we'll post. But it's this incredible plane with a giant radar disc on top of it.
Yep.
These things can see everything. Shit. If you're picking your nose, it can tell you that you're picking your nose in Duluth while they're out in the South Pacific. So they're definitely not. They're pretty confident that this is a craft with cloaking technology.
I would think so.
On planet Earth or above planet Earth.
And it's been here
since 2004
that we know of.
Correct.
Oh my God.
So then it
the military initially was doing their biggest visual in probably, you know, whatever they can. I bet you there's a lot more footage of that thing.
No, there's a fair amount. You can definitely find it on the internet.
Well, so. It
docked in the ocean?
There is a report that it docked in the ocean. So I started to
feverish.
Have
they recovered it?
They did not recover it because it docked and flew away.
Oh, wow.
They witnessed it. They never engaged it.
It's probably where those children from the prisons are ending up.
Oh,
the 1,500 that were missing from America's detention centers?
That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it is. It's sickening.
And now, and they're blaming Democrats for that too.
Well, we won't get into the politics, but here's the thing: 1,500 kids have disappeared. That is children. Doesn't matter where they came from, they are children.
It is.
1,500 kids disappear? Yeah. That's a fucking problem. I have a big problem with that. If my tax dollars are going to disappearing children, I'm not having it.
Me neither. They're not disappeared. They're in the sex trafficking ring now.
Probably.
They've disappeared, Rachel. They've disappeared.
And the thing is,
darker side.
Hell yeah. It's
fucking Jesus Christ.
It's so fucking dark.
Johnny, thank you.
Sorry, I did that. I touched that off.
It's all good. It needed to be brought up, and thank you for that segue. Johnny, that is going to open my eyes, and that has opened my eyes, that story, to really, 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 we need to know what's going on out there.
See, what comes to my mind?
Our skies are our least defensible place.
No, we're just worried about other land masses. Forget all that. Band together. It's Independence Day. Like, we need we need Bill Pullman to scream yippee-ki-yay and fly into the thing. I know I just mixed up a whole bunch of movies. Please feel free to correct me, but, you know, hey, I've been drinking.
So. You forgot the motherfucker part.
Hell yeah. See, what I...
Motherfucker. There you go, honey. Is that good?
Thank you.
Yes.
What's been going through my head is, like, we also have a body of government that tells our armed services that if you see something like this, just ignore it. It's nothing to worry about.
No, it's truth. And we spend the most amount of money of our GDP a year on what they will put quote marks around defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a real deeper story that's involved in this.
Yeah.
That we may discuss at a future date.
We should. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
It involves politicians. It involves a little bit of payola.
I believe it.
This is a deliciously deep conspiracy. It's many layered parfait.
We'll leave this story at that. All right. No more on this. We'll definitely do that.
We will do that.
Sounds like an amazing diving deeper segment.
Yes, please.
All right, well, here is my news story, everybody. Again, thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
You're most welcome.
Good job, that we could go on a 3-hour tangent just on that. And that would be a fun Patreon episode, I think.
Hell yeah.
all right, guys. Well, here is my news story. It's from Truth in Media. It's titled Google Employees Resign in Protest of Pentagon AI Project.
What?
Let me read that again. Google employees resign in protest of Pentagon AI project.
So never use an acronym without saying what that means. Dave, what is AI?
Artificial
intelligence project. So we're talking
robots.
Just creating a sentient being from digital fabrication.
Fucking Skynet.
Skynet. So Mountain View, California. At least a dozen Google employees have resigned in protest over the company's collaborating with the Department of Defense, which is another thing that I'm so disgusted by.
Oh, my God. Our UN is, too. It's just...
Google, of all people. Granted, I do use your product, and thank you for your user-friendliness. is partnering with our fucking government...
Yeah.
To create an AI program.
The sad part, well, the weird, sad and weird part of this is the fact that that's probably like a half of 1% of their total workers at Google.
Yeah, probably.
So it's a very small percentage.
Yeah, and then the other ones are like, no, I'm not going to work for a company that does this. All right, let's go back.
they really pay their employees well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at least a dozen Google employees have resigned in protest over the companies collaborating with the Department of Defense by supplying artificial intelligence for a controversial military pilot program for the DoD known as Project Maven.
Ooh. What?
Why is a good name, too.
Why is Google getting involved with the Army?
Money?
Cash rules everything around me.
Dollar bill, y'all.
Fuck it, eh?
What? Cream.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on, dog.
We are terrible. I'm sorry.
We are 40, John.
I know. We fucking sound it.
No, I don't think so.
After thousands of employees signed a letter last month asking the company to cancel the Pentagon's contract and institute a policy against working for the military.
That's awesome.
We can no longer ignore our industry and our technology's harmful basis, large-scale breaches of trust, and the lack of ethical safeguards.
Wow.
They ignored it when Edward Snowden shoved it in everybody's face. Google has made it easy to access every fucking thing that you do.
Yep.
That you can't touch the internet without using one of Google's programs.
Yep. And Snowden told us that this was going to happen to us.
Correct.
And he's now held up in Sweden, and not he's a enemy of the state.
Snowden?
And a hero at the same time.
Are you serious?
He's not allowed if he leaves where he is, he's done for.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm surprised they haven't disappeared the guy yet.
They should give him the Nobel Prize for honesty.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
clever use of a Rubik's Cube.
I know there's a movie and I know like he's like super honest, but
did it in 3.4 minutes, bro.
Really, Forrest? You haven't heard about this?
I know that he was banned from the US like from Bush's term.
Read
or something
up
like
on
that.
It, dude.
Dude. It so goes let's see way here. So
we actually know that the NSA is real because of Edward Snowden. We talked about it, and it was in the Sneakers movie,
but
and even that was controversial.
Snowden's more of a protagonist to the U.S., right?
No, he is a hero.
Yeah,
do us a favor. Do us a favor. Look up Snowden and just read everything you can about him. All right, Forrest.
And for those of you at home or in your cars who also don't know who Snowden is,
I think he's innocent.
Of course, a lot of us do.
Check it out.
Wow.
We do. We're with you, Forrest.
I think he's actually absolutely guilty, and I think that's why he should be free.
Yeah.
Because he absolutely did. He gave away a bunch of information because they were...
Sure. He's anti-government.
But they wrote legislation months before that.
A camera?
Yeah, my camera on my computer.
I tape mine.
A tape over it. Yeah, you do that because of Snowden, because they were watching him and his wife have sex.
Hey, do you guys want to know what Project Maven is?
Yep.
Yes, I do. What's Project Maven?
You guys want to know about Project Maven?
By the way, the Darker Side podcast uses Google Drive and Google Sheets. Thank you for keeping us organized.
Thank you, Google, for keeping us organized.
All right, so Project Maven developed to scan images and drone footage and identify targets and classify images of objects and people was launched in April 2017.
Fucking drones in America.
Ugh. And according to the Pentagon memo, aims to augment or automate processing, exploitation and dissemination for unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, in support of the Defeat ISIS campaign.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
So basically, hold on. There's a lot of so basicallys here. In order to reduce the human factor burden of full motion video analysis, increases actionable intelligence and enhance military decision making.
What?
More than 1,000 academics and researchers penned an open letter in support of the Google employees and calling the company to cease work on Project Maven. There's a lot more of this, guys. I'm going to leave a link. You really should read this because this is some very important shit. It's a lot of time that I don't want to spend on it. But we should not ever... And you've seen AI projects out there, people. And I'm telling you, you've seen what they've done and what they said about humanity. We will never, and we can never, allow our government to let an AI project have any control in any of our decision-making, the decisions being made about our freedoms.
Yeah.
Fuck no, fuck no, fuck no.
Fuck that.
That's just me. That's just me, David from the Darker Side podcast. Don't ever let our government let an artificial intelligence think about our freedoms.
Hell killer fucking robots, man. You can't have that shit.
Not going to happen.
Every sci-fi movie's based on that.
You can't.
And it always ends horribly
wrong. It does end badly.
Yeah.
Because the artificial intelligence will gain control of our nation, will gain control of everything, because they are intelligent and they hate humans.
Yep.
We've seen the projects. We've seen what happens when you let an AI learn about humanity. It goes fucking nuts and wants to kill humans.
Check out InspiroBot. It's an AI program they turned on to create inspirational statements.
Watson, I think, is one of the only ones that they actually literally have controls on.
Watson was built with Isaac Asimov's three fundamental rules of robotics,
which is perfect.
Wow. Yeah.
But when you have open source and you allow your AI to make full decisions.
Oh, the Disney Channel taught me about AI back in 1999.
Oh my, yeah.
With their movie Smart House.
Yep, Smart House. Yep, I was just thinking that.
Which is a, I think a play on an old, who did the Martian Chronicles?
Ray Bradbury.
Bradbury did a story about a house that was on Mars, and an annihilation had happened, and the house was an automated house.
Yep.
But this horrible thing had happened on Mars, so this house was just automated, and then finally it died. But it had been dead for years because society had been dead around it. It was a beautiful, and I think that's like the automated house. If you let it take control, it will and could kill you.
Well, she goes crazy, and that's kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, sentient beings, even Stepford Wives, the robots got a little fucking weird.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, at man. World's End, smashy, smashy Eggman. I mean, those guys are fucked up.
It's crazy.
It's true. Man, I'm serious, guys. We really need to be more... We need to think about these things that our governments are contracting.
Yeah.
I'm honestly very thankful for these Google employees because I had no idea prior to reading this article.
Yeah, less money on AI, more money on protecting the skies.
I give them props,
more money
too.
On like let's help everybody out, guys.
Well,
instead of detaining children and then, you know, targeting brown people with drones that can think for themselves.
Yeah.
And these people are giving up their careers for moral reasons.
Yeah.
Because it's just
Amen
not right.
Amen to that.
And
is,
so high five, guys.
Yeah, I'd buy you all a beer.
You wanna know what I think is funny? That our government is It's funny, we actually have a body of government that has recently been speaking out about, you know, like certain things with Saudi Arabia and those kind of countries getting their years ahead of us with AI technology. Our government condemns that. But at the same time, now they're contracting with things like that.
Of course.
So
right. Mm-hmm. That's the way our government works.
It's the new nuclear arms race.
It's like, we never would we ever think about doing that.
It's
like
a front.
So this is what I've learned. Governments are kind of like toddlers.
They are.
When they get jealous and then they throw tantrums.
Yeah.
Mm, true.
That's what's happening.
And they put everybody else's sanity on the line.
Yep. Thank you for that, Rachel. That's good.
Yeah.
That is a great Maybe. Analogy.
I actually feel I like that. I know
have,
more about the government.
We
now.
Have the toddler yep. in chief for sure. In power right now.
Twitter.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to our news stories. We are going to get into our... All right, guys. Well, let's get into the Darker Side movie review. This week, we are doing...
Nice. Sounds awesome. Hell yeah.
Too much head.
Speaking of head, we are going to review the classic slasher film Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
On our 13th episode movie review.
Hell yeah.
Friday the 13th, everybody. It is a 1980 mystery slasher film. Runs about an hour 35. 6.5 out of 10 on the IMDb. 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. And who gives a fuck about the Hulu review? 87% of people like this on Google.
Thank you, Google.
Crystal Lake's history of murder doesn't deter counselors from setting up a summer camp in the woodsy area. Superstitious locals warn against it. But the fresh-faced young people, Jack, Kevin Bacon, Alice, Adrian King, Bill, Harry Crosby, Marcy, Janine... Taylor and Ned Mark Sorry. Nelson pay little heed to the old timers. Then they find themselves stalked by a brutal killer. As they're slashed, shot, and stabbed, the counselors struggle to stay alive against a merciless opponent.
Oh, yeah.
So 80s slasher film, because yep. it, you know, started the 80s slasher film genre.
Sure did.
Our release date was May 9th. 2080, everybody. 1980. It was a year and 6 days after my birthday. So nice. I was 1 year old and 6 days when this movie came out, yeah.
Nice.
It was directed by a Sean S. Cunningham, who has been basically credited with the bringing forth this slasher genre.
Slasher.
Slasher genre.
Slasher.
The slasher genre of horror in America, he's basically credited it with, like, you know, bringing it forth and making it outside of the other movies. The budget, I've seen a few numbers on it. You saw like 500,000.
Yeah, I saw like, you know, 55.
And this right here, it says 700 USDs.
I thought it was like 500 or something.
That's right. 550 something or other.
It wasn't released till 19 years later, obviously, on DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah.
They didn't put it on DVD in 1980.
But the box office back in 80 did make 59.8 mils USD.
It's probably still grossing.
Yeah, of course it is.
This movie is older than half of us sitting at this table.
Yep.
Yeah. And some of us were 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So I really have to say that I truly, truly don't remember watching this as a kid.
Me
I definitely
either.
Did.
You lived a sheltered childhood.
I did watch it. I just don't remember it. And then rewatching it as an adult, I'm like, okay, yeah, some of these scenes seem familiar. And then the freshness of it, I was like, this is a pretty good movie, knowing full well that it was made in 1980.
It's such a cheesy for the time. Film.
Of course it is. But that's what made the genre.
Yeah.
This was in 1980.
1980,
I mean, we had movies like...
38 years ago. I mean, that's a long time. But for the special effects to be that...
Awesome.
We had Texas Chainsaw and we had a couple other before that. But that year, that movie set the pace for 20, 30 years of American slasher films.
Still going. Mm-hmm.
You had Tom Savini doing the special effects.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and to be fair, he's a genius.
Yeah, he's amazing. He brought you From Dusk Till Dawn. He was the sex machine in that movie, if you guys remember.
Yeah. The sex machine. Yeah. But I mean, when the first full-on like body shot slash happened, I think it was was it a axe in the forehead or something?
I thought it was the neck slash.
Oh, neck slash.
Neck good slash. Bleeding neck slash.
All right, so that was great, but when they did
the
full-on...
She never made it to the camp.
She was so perky. I loved her.
That movie.
Annie. Wasn't that her name?
Well,
everything was just so slow in the beginning, but I loved it.
Well, you got to set the pace.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You got to set the pace. You got to get up to the hippie tit place.
But, I mean, that's true. I mean, nobody has patience for that kind of pacing anymore.
I do.
No.
I do, though.
We don't necessarily as a culture because we're so...
Very sad.
We want it fast-paced, and that's why... That's some of the horror movies nowadays I just can't even look at.
I mean, it's like we're 24 minutes into the film. We're still not even at like Crystal Lake yet. It's
but you want to have a full on panic attack in the first 5 minutes of a movie. I'm okay with slowing it down a little.
Yep.
My heart can't bear.
This movie will fuck you up for life.
Are you talking about A Quiet Place?
Some of them. There's a lot of them out there right now, but I don't know. Yes, it's a bit cheesy. Obviously, there's
It's very chopstick.
I mean, we had Kevin Bacon, who I called K-Bakes. And then you had this woman in that one scene while they're making out. You know, guys, you know. And she's the one whose nipples were hard ever since the first shot of her.
Of course.
So I've called her nipples. So when those two are having sex in the bed, and you get to see him groping her tits and all this other shit.
He just holds on to that thing.
Oh,
he
just
doesn't
like,
let go.
He's holding on to like the top one, but the bottom one is still exposed.
The bottom one was for everybody who bought a ticket.
Everybody bought a ticket.
And it did get a, was it an R rating? Yes, an R rating back in 80. So, yeah,
it
was
okay
with
the kids.
No, it was an R.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the other Jason movies that came after.
It was definitely an R, so.
There's just a couple TV titties.
So we got to see our titties, yeah. And God, that whole like killing everybody, just killing everybody, just gets killed. You know, everybody gets killed. Rachel, what do you got to say about this movie? I got a lot, so
I'm sure you do, Dave.
I don't know. I kind of identify with the killer in this movie. In a sense, I mean, if a bunch of punk ass kids let my kid drown.
You would kill. You kill everybody 20 years later.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
I'd probably go psycho and pretend to talk to my child in my head as well.
Would you wear a better sweater?
Oh hell yeah.
He could be inside her.
Oh, mom. It's iconically stupid. The music.
Yes.
The music is iconically stupid.
But he's a genius.
But you'll never
forget
it.
Oh, of course
not. That's the key.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was kind of cheesy given for, you know, but it's a time difference.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't have what they have now.
No
back
way.
Then.
And Tom Savini
However,
was definitely one of the best.
Oh, absolutely.
The shooting is phenomenal.
It really was.
I think the shooting was great.
I love
even
the first person jump.
POV.
The POV shot.
You don't see the ending coming at all.
Well, the thing is you, the only time you hear the only time you hear a score. And that movie is from the first person POV.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Every other shot outside of that has no music whatsoever.
Yep.
You're hearing the sounds and you're what they heard in the mics. There's no Foley music, there's nothing. It's just it was a brilliant piece of recording.
It was.
I will say the chains on the drawer really pissed me off.
The chains on the drawer.
Because
it was a pretty cliched thing.
Well, not only that, cliche. But it's like if you...
Wouldn't you lock up the ammunition, though? You're at a camp for children.
Correct.
And you have guns.
Right.
You would probably want... I wanted more than chains on there. I wanted the guns to be in one locked cabinet.
Yeah.
And then I want the bullets in another locked cabinet at a Boy Scout camp. I mean, in my dresser drawer, that's a different story.
But if you look at the way that the chains wrap through the drawer handles, you could still be able to pull all of them out.
It's true.
And well, it probably has that really little tiny lock that you have on filing
cabinet. Then why do you have to put the fucking chains on it?
You guys got to remember, though, this is New Jersey. So I don't think New Jersey had many gun laws.
Well, there is a subplot in that one little discrepancy there. Thinking also, back to it, it does make sense, Rachel. I don't understand why that third drawer just didn't open.
Also, New Jersey doesn't have a big loon population, and there's a lot of loon sounds.
Probably.
And in New Jersey in June, before the campers get to camp, the trees aren't turning red. I just want to point that out as well.
Did you also notice the beaver? The beaver scene.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
But the beaver floating through the water, and then all of a sudden it cuts to two people making out.
I just can't even.
It's so nice beaver.
Yeah. Which is so an 80s thing. That's so good.
You guys got to remember, though, if you guys watched this on Amazon, right? On Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
That was an extended version. That was actually not the original released version.
It did not need to be extended. It was an hour and 35 minutes. What did they extend it with?
The original movie was actually 80 minutes. And the one that we just watched was 95.
Cool.
80 minutes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I just know because I watched it when I was younger, and it was much shorter.
I don't think it really added much, unless they added more of the female character at the end, who
the
we
beginning.
Haven't necessarily.
More of everybody driving the same Jeep. Did anyone else notice that the Jeep was exactly the same Jeep?
Correct.
Not like they had two Jeeps that were
no,
similar.
No, they just one,
they were
one left the house with the top off.
Precisely the same 1976 Jeep. They were the CJ5, sort of the model that I've always wanted. I noticed, but
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Coming from a film student, but that's totally noticeable.
No, but I mean, you can only imagine. I mean,
they're on a budget.
They couldn't buy two of them for that.
I was like, oh hell yeah, I'd kill for that Jeep. And then there's two of them. I was like, I'd kill for the same Jeep twice.
It's like when the horrible old. He's not really. He's just like a 30-year-old guy who's going to buy a camp and wants to get 18-year-old pussy.
And the cop.
No, when he like when he shows
nothing
up,
nothing wrong with that.
When he shows back up, at
he's so creepy. He's like touching her weird bowl cut that she has, and she's like, I don't know if I like this. I'm gonna go fuck Kevin Bacon.
But he said he's I'm a super artist. So who knows?
I just can't.
But then like when he shows back up after he's eating at the diner. Because he went all day and ate at a diner.
He was totally going to bang Alice, too. He's like, that 33 cents is yours. Keep the change.
When he showed up, and then he's like, oh, my God, hey, I didn't know you were out here. And then he gets killed. You're like, it's got to be somebody. Anybody want to spoil it? It was Jason Voorhees' mother.
John didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hence
really?
Like,
but the entire culture knows that.
Nobody saw a scream? Like,
John. The thing is John, my fiance, didn't know it was the mother the whole time.
Oh, that's
really?
Cool, though. That's a good experience for him, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's fresh. I mean, I grew up knowing the culture. I've seen 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 12 remake. Yep. I've seen them all.
There was one with Jason and Freddy. Yeah.
Oh, they have a space one. I can't. Ugh.
And then Jason versus Freddy. I mean,
that wasn't that good.
But what I like about the original, first one, is that it creates this lore.
Oh yeah.
This amazing concept for a character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jason.
Oh fucking turkey.
But you don't need any more movies after that. You could just go on and it didn't end it. But what it ended up making is like an entire franchise. And
yeah,
no, fuck all that. When Zombie Jason in her bowl cuts dream comes out and grabs her while she's in the canoe. Zombie Jason, that was the best part of the movie.
But
for
do you
me.
Think
the
that,
boy
that
in
was
the lake.
That but was, do you think that sets up for all the rest of them?
Where did he go?
Yeah, but number two is the most ridiculous way he comes back. It is absolutely the
he
most.
He can live underwater. I mean that.
He's not living underwater. But they electrocute
he's
him and he becomes zombie Jason.
Zombie, also, they don't play a lot of hockey in summer camp. I've been to a summer camp. There was no hockey. There was no ice skating rink. So I don't know where one would get a hockey mask, but you know, to be fair, that is the iconic Jason.
Friday the 13th.
It's a classic
number
movie.
Number two goes a completely different way in regards to
we
the
haven't
mythology.
Seen part two.
But like it just goes.
You should watch it. I'm never reviewing.
We're gonna
that
watch
movie.
It tonight. We're gonna watch it tonight.
You should. Get really high. Like incredibly high. You should make a 26 gallon fish tank into a giant.
Part two is that
bomb.
Bad. It's, part two is that
it just,
bad.
It breaks it into what becomes the rest of the Friday the 13th.
You think part two would be better than the first one?
No way.
Sure, like Jaws 2 or.
or as good as the first one.
Night at the Museum 2.
Night at the Museum. Oh my god, that was released after he died too.
Beethoven's second.
So I honestly, I mean, I think it's great for its time. I think it's great for
cheesy dialogue,
of course. But that's the beauty of the slasher film genre.
Did Sally leave the grass?
It's a classic. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
It is super classic. And the that style of dialogue has been going on for 30-40 years in that genre of film. I am going to give it really good marks.
Ratings.
As a classic. And I'm going to do it as a 10 scale. You know I usually do it as a nickel markers or blop-a-dorpers. I'm going to give it an honest 10 scale so that you know how we are literally judging these movies. Right, John? What do you call it?
I'm calling this a calibration. So we got a classic. Most people have seen it. This is how you calibrate against us. The problem is you have to deal with sentimentalism from the two children of the 80s.
Yes. So, but from an honest 1 to 10 scale, I'm going to give it an 8. It's a classic. It is pure of its genre. And I'm going to do that. An 8 out of 10.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and 4 words. Yeah. Jason Voorhees. Yeah.
Just syllables at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of haiku-ish. Yeah.
So some of us prepare before the show, David.
I got
make it happen on the go. But yeah, man, this is a pure classic film. This is pure horror, and this is what we grew up on.
Hell yeah.
Or what I grew up on. John and I grew up on.
I grew up on Scream, I'm sorry.
Rachel.
Yo.
Then you should know it was Voorhees' mother. I mean, that's one of the that's the question he asked on the phone.
I should have. I was surprised.
That is true.
That's good. I'm glad you didn't remember the Scream reference. That's good.
I really enjoyed it. I did love some of the camera work.
Yeah.
Beautiful camera work. I did find it slightly cheesy, but like it's a time jump.
What the cop says.
Yeah. It's more like the crazy guy, you know, and it's like, don't go up there because you're going to die.
Like weird James.
You can't listen to him because, you know, they're never right.
The guy that tells you to just go away now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always
just
right.
Bananas.
Oh,
he's
yeah. Bananas, that guy they run into in the beginning and they're like, don't
go there. So that's
like
that's like a film cliche that was created with film as well.
He looked like he had a big load in his pants the whole time. He was like, I got a dump in my underpants, but I drove all the way out here to tell you.
He got on that wide-seated beach cruiser bike, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Just squishing it all back in.
Oh,
it's
my
just,
God.
It's like, he goes home to his wife. He's like, Sally, get me a baby wipe.
And a whiskey, please.
I mean, fetch my slippers and wipe my balls.
Oh, but 4 words.
Oh, God.
Don't piss off moms.
Yep.
There you go. Perfect.
5 words. I like it. And one of them is a contraction.
What did you say for your score was?
I would honestly say I would maybe 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same,
yeah. Solid. I would agree with that.
I can't count, by the way. I want to go on the record
you can't
saying I'm
count.
Wrong. But one of them was a contraction, but yes. we're going to allow that. Judges? Mm-hmm. Yep. No, we're going to allow that.
Contractions are they're allowed.
Okay.
Forrest, what do you got to say about this movie?
Oh, man.
Within 300 words.
Classic. It's a classic. You know, very cliche. It started a whole fucking genre that's still going on today. Absolutely. Although nowadays there's not as much slashers, good slashers, as there was, you know.
I mean, what can we can't see? I mean, we've seen how to kill.
Yeah.
We've seen every way to kill in the slasher genre for the last 40 years. We know how to do it wholly.
To be fair, but between Saw and The Final Destination, there's really no... There's nothing. There's no stone left unturned.
No, it's like,
I guess Django would
it's
be.
It's like
one,
what is
right?
there? 7 original stories.
Yeah,
we've covered them in the last 30 years.
Yeah,
so.
Boy meets girl, yeah. Girl meets boy, slasher, slasher.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. It's at times it's extremely unpredictable.
Oh yeah.
The camera work's amazing. The only thing that I just thought was hilarious that I ended up laughing at, I don't know about you guys, was the dialogue. Like,
oh, we all did, but I mean, it's cheesy, misogynistic, like,
with the
boy
police?
Meets, like, the kid who shoots the arrow at that girl. It's like, Eddie thought it was and she fucking wanted to suck on his hog after that. I would have punched a bitch in the face, dude, for reals. Mm-hmm. You don't shoot an arrow that fucking close to me. I'm going to fucking hit you in your balls and then leave you here to die.
Did you notice that the prop arrows had big white plastic tips?
Yeah.
Like so these arrows were not dangerous. Tip. That's the reason why the whole target was ripped away, because they were using these prop arrows that you could totally ping off of somebody.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But either way, that still drove me nuts. I'm like, you know, that's irresponsible.
I don't think
it might be the father in me, but Jesus.
Goddamn irresponsible.
You'll shoot your eye out.
There's everything is such a big cliche in this movie, although it's a huge classic. Yeah,
but it's a cliche because it started it. Like, right. It is a cliche because...
It's movies like this that make me enjoy movies like, you know, Cabin in the Woods, although I don't really care for that movie.
You know that Jason Voorhees' mother was at the shop when
at the diner
in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice.
She was like the third woman
in. Small clues.
Nice.
Small clues.
Yeah, she brought it up. You should have seen her face when she brought up the Crystal Lake. She was like, I know what I'm doing tonight.
I fucking love this movie. It's amazing.
Did you guys notice all the visual cues that they gave you to who Jason was?
Not really.
There was a ring on his finger, a very big class ring.
Oh, on the mother. Yeah.
On the mother. And then she had the jeans black... and the boots
there,
on.
Yep. There were scenes.
And then when you finally saw her, you're like,
that's what she was wearing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. That all happens in one day, by the way, that entire movie.
Yeah.
One
amazing
evening.
Yep. Even though the first 25 minutes is like spent in a Jeep going around the town and not even going to the lake.
Right. The rest of the movie is within a day.
Yeah. To be fair, that was a GMC delivery truck, but yes.
Forwards and a score, buddy.
Yep, four words for this, and then I'll give my score. I would say, don't piss off mother.
Yeah, I mean, same thing
as
Rachel. Yeah,
don't
for sure.
Piss off mother.
Oh.
You pissed me off. You stole my shit.
I'd love to emphasize the POV in this movie.
Oh,
loved
it's super
it.
Good.
And it sets off the room for Jason in the future to be fucking scary as fuck. And I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, drink. Real quick.
Go, oh, hey.
Snap. Cheers, mates.
I would give this movie an 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
looks like we're locked at the moment.
Contact is the reason. No? Okay, so Children of the 80s. I got to tell you, this movie is absolutely iconic. We talked about this and Stand By Me at summer camp.
mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep. Yeah, this movie exists for a reason. It was filmed with nothing but love of making horror movies.
Oh, fuck yeah.
When horror movies did not really, if you think about it, exist.
True.
Not a lot of...
I mean, there were some independents, like we were saying, like...
I'm going to take that back.
It's
like,
underrated.
Let's never talk about that, because there was Rosemary's Baby, there was... But a lot of the horror movies are really... sort of ethereal and religious and, you know, monster-driven. But this was just a fucked-up slasher. And
very humanistic.
Very
brutal.
Yeah. It was
brutal
compared to past horror flicks.
I mean, Texas Chainsaw was crazy. And then you had the sub-genre of brutal horror.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very independent, small thing. People weren't hitting it as hard.
Texas Chainsaw was
a fucked-up
family.
This movie made $590 million, guys.
From $500,000.
Right, at that budget versus what they made, and at the time, 80, what you were spending maybe $1.50 to go see a movie, that's a fuck ton of people going to see your movie home box office. Yep. And like you were saying, John, this movie is literally on the same level as Stand By Me for us growing up in the
80s. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Flight of the Navigator.
Oh,
great
movie.
You know,
never seen it.
Fucking Goonies.
Daryl.
Goonies. All of those movies in the 80s that set the way we are as human beings and what we know and love growing up.
Hell
this is one of those movies, like you were saying, dude, for sure.
It's just it's iconic. It's a classic.
And that's why
we
review it as... As
Goonies
a,
never say die.
They don't. Yeah, and that's why David and I are drinking classic beverages. He has a Zima and I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Hell Zima does definitely bring me back to my 16-year-old happy self.
And I have to say, though, I'm not going to lie.
Boom.
Oh, snap.
Clink, 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 clink.
Clink, 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 clink.
I just have to say that even though nowadays we don't come by movies in the horror genre that have this kind of pacing... Even though in the middle it's actually very weird, it's not really slow, but it's in its own form. I enjoy movies that have such a slower pacing, especially towards the end when you have that last scene
where everything's just outstretched and you're just like, okay, I thought this movie was going to end like 15 minutes ago and it's still going.
I just wanted it to end though.
Oh my God, it's like the Rowdy Roddy Piper fight scene from They Live. Like,
yeah, it is still
like
true.
It just
it's
keeps
so
going
true.
And going. It's fantastic. What a great fight scene. Yeah. That's one of my favorite fight scenes in history.
Oh, when she, really? When Rachel's like, did she just hit her in the pussy? I was like, yeah, she fucking nailed her there, dude.
Oh my God.
So hard.
Yeah,
it was her right in the pussy.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, another good horror movie. Probably from the 70s. So we've proven that my statement is wrong, but to me personally, this movie is horror movie.
It is horror.
This is my first horror movie I think that I ever saw. So it was funny when you guys are like, you want to review this? I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And my wife thought we were nuts. She's like, what? You're watching what? I was like, Friday the 13th. She's like, no, signing off. I was like,
oh, John,
you're wrong. You're so wrong.
John and I went to town when we watched this movie. He was laughing. I was laughing at certain points of the movie.
Oh, man. Well, great. Just a great, great flick.
I was literally like 8-year-old Dave again watching this movie.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I felt creeped out, though.
And like laughing and just like, oh, this is fun.
Oh, loving it and just remembering parts and being like, I hope mom doesn't come down when they're smoking pot. Oh, fantastic.
The irony of this movie. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. It's misogynistic. I'm going to give it for the fact that it's style defining. I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10 and people, you're going to hate me from a film standpoint. You know, it's 75%, it's a 7.5 out of 10, but from iconic, just genre defining horror movie. It definitely deserves its place on your movie shelf.
It definitely deserves its place
on your movie shelf. And all I have to say is, four words, Tom Savini.
Hell yeah.
Or Kiki. But I'd have to do it to six words, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I looked up the ratings after I watched this film, and I wanted to cry. Well, I'm like, this movie didn't get on a
40-year span average.
Didn't get good ratings.
It's not so bad.
Well,
it's above 60%.
Like
it's above 50%.
It got like
so.
A 2.5 out of 5 across the board.
There's a big Christian population that doesn't watch movies.
I mean, dude, this movie's old enough to have bought a minivan. It's sending a couple kids to college.
Yeah.
It's got the empty nest syndrome. Like this movie's been all around.
Oh God.
Yeah.
All right, guys. What?
Bush.
Yeah. 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 There was some pretty big Bush back then, too. All right, guys. Well, thank you for hitting the Darker Side movie review.
Grow some hair on that.
Nothing wrong with Bush.
Friday the 13th edition.
Nothing wrong with Bush.
Calibration episode brought to you by the Darker Side. All right, guys. Well, that was the Darker Side episode 13.
Hell yeah.
Guys, honestly, thank you so much for hanging with us tonight. We reviewed one of the classic movies.
Very classic.
We had a couple really cool...
It was killer.
It's the Casablanca of horror movies.
It was killer. Oh, yeah. And we some great news stories and, some creepypasta.
Thank you
from the Darker Side. I am David. You can find me on all the social medias at David Pottle or Roz Potts or, a bunch of other things. Just figure it out.
Yep.
You can find my band at Frenemy Providence. We got a show coming up real soon, guys, out in Worcester, so come check us out.
It's Frenemy with no vowels.
Yeah. Well, Frenemy with one vowel.
One vowel.
Well, sometimes Y. It's not an actual vowel.
Rachel, what do you got?
So I'm Rachel Pottle. You can find me on Snapchat, DRP49532.
Check out
also, per my manager, you can also find me at the Route 16 Honeydew Donuts.
Hell yeah.
In Webster, Massachusetts.
Right next to Andy.
I was told to plug. I'm plugging.
Okay.
I did my duty.
She's slinging the extra,
there you go, John.
For all you New Englanders.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Forrest, what do you got, buddy?
I just want to say I love all of you, and I love our Darker Siders.
Happy 25th, Forrest.
Yes, thank happy you. 25th birthday,
Hail
Forrest.
Yourself, brother. Hail yourself.
I had a 1/4 life crisis, pretty much.
Quarter life crisis.
It's a thing. It's real, dude.
You get to 25, and you're like, ugh. It's all downhill from here, and then you're like at 40. You're like, it was uphill.
You're like, now what? But the rest of us are like, you're just a baby. You're fine.
Technically, you're a grampy in the gay community at like 22. Once you reach 22.
And I'm a bear.
Hell yeah, I'm a bear too. I have to say, going into the podcast, I actually just got an email from my Uncle Bart, who has
Bart's
given
the man.
Us a Patreon.
Can we call him El Barto?
El Barto?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, El Barto.
Uncle El Barto.
El Barto.
I love you, Uncle Bart. He sent us a creepypasta story, I believe,
cool,
actually.
Cool.
Sweet.
We'll have to read that eventually.
We will read that eventually.
Thanks, Bart.
Thank you, Bart.
All right, Forrest, where they can find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Forrest Films, Instagram as Forrest Smith. You can find our group on Instagram, Twitter, The Darker Side Podcast with a C, on Facebook, Patreon. You can listen to us on Podbean, iTunes, Android Music,
all
that
good stuff.
We're everywhere. We want comments. We want shares.
Yeah,
we want all that.
Comments, please.
Yeah, reviews, rates.
Rate it, please. Yep. Write and review. Words. Put some couple words. Just clickety click.
Hell yeah.
Five words. This is cool.
You can even rate us without saying anything.
Johnny, Herman, what do you got there, buddy?
Yes, I'm rebranding myself as Herman.
Herman.
You can find me on Instagram at Herman Brow. It's HERRMANN. And I used to say it's the German word for beer, but it's actually the German word for brew. Thank you for correcting me, Jim.
Nice.
All right. Other than that, I do own darkerside.com, so look for that shit dropping in the future, and that's about all I got. So thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
The Darker Side Podcast.
Darker Side
Podcast.
.com.